and welcome back to the Untriggered Parenting Podcast with me, Paula Sampson-Lawrence. This episode is in honour of Neurodiversity Celebration Week, and my very special guest is Lael Aldi, a fellow parenting coach, and she's with us today to share her very personal journey with her son and his ADHD diagnosis. Let's dive in. Welcome, Lael, to the show.
I'm so excited to have you, to see you again. It's been a while since we were training to be coaches together. So massive welcome to you.
Hey, Paula, thank you so much for having me on your show today.
I want to take it back to your son. He is the inspiration for our conversation today. So if you, and how old is he?
So my son right now is 8 years old, almost nine.
8 years old, almost nine. And at what point did you notice that I think he might be a little different?
As soon as he was born and we went back home, I tried to breastfeed him and he would push me away. Like he was strong enough to just push me away. And you know how it is, like with all the hormones and the emotions, like, why don't you want me? So that was like number one. Now that I think I'm like, okay, this was the first sign. Sign number two was by 2 weeks. He was 2 weeks when I would put him on his stomach and he would turn.
Oh wow!
And I was not able to put him like tummy time.
Yeah.
While I'm like right next to him, you know what I mean? Because it was scary. Because you would do it on the bed. Otherwise, where are you going to put it? Where are you going to put him tummy time? It's going to be on the bed. That was number two. And then three was later on as he was growing. Mm-hmm. He would not sit on your lap. There was no way. Like he would be moving the whole time. He just does not want to sit on anybody's lap. And I remember back then before he even turned one, I traveled a lot. And, you know, before they're two, you don't buy them a seat. You just put them on your lap. It was miserable. So that was the active part of ADHD. Yeah. But growing up, like as he grew, he is not, I wouldn't say he's as active as like the typical ADHD children. So it's not all about, you know, being super active and not saying.
Yeah.
It's not. That. It does come in different forms.
So what was your next step?
I did not really think too much of it back then. Like they were signs, but they're only signs now after I knew. But to be honest, I did not look too much into it. And when I was younger, I used to hear about ADHD all the time and it wasn't a big deal. Like, oh, this kid has ADHD. And then a mom would go like, I'm sure I have ADHD. And it was never really something that I felt like someone needs to go see a doctor for and do something about it. Unless the teacher says, okay, your son has ADHD and he's not sitting in his seat, he's not doing his test and you need to do something about it, for instance.
Yeah.
So I didn't really do anything until I had my second son when my older one was almost three.
Okay.
They're 2 years and 10 months apart. But as soon as I had his younger brother, things escalated. Was it the age, like his age that he was almost three? Was it because he started going to daycare and he knew that there was someone else with me, like jealousy? I don't know, but was it a combination of everything? Ever since he was one, again, I would tell you, like, he was active and I was always running after him and he's always doing all sort of stuff. But I was like, it's okay. It's part of childhood. I'm right there. I'm with him. I thought this is how it is going to be, like, with children. Until I had the second child and school, I started getting a lot of calls from school. At first, I thought that my choice of school is wrong. And being in the ABA field and knowing how to do all the positive reinforcement kind of stuff, like I know how to deal with my son. You don't know how to deal with my son. So maybe I need to change schools.
Yes.
So when my son turned 5 years old, he was already in like six different schools.
Wow.
Yeah. I kept moving him from one school. X, thinking, oh, no, this is not like how I want it to be. Oh, no, this teacher doesn't know how to, because I feel like it's all about the teacher. If he bonds with the teacher, he listens. He needs a connection. And back then, I did not know he needed a connection. I thought he needed attention. He needs a connection with the teacher to be able to listen to anyone. Like ever since he was young, even if he is with kids his age and they're playing a game, he wants to play the game differently. He does not want to follow the rules of the game. Why? Because he just wants it different. Yeah. So I started noticing that anywhere we go, whether it's school, with friends, outside, whether like it's at a play area at the mall or at the park, he knows this is the way to, for instance, swing. He wants to twist the swing. That's how he wanted it.
Yeah.
So that's what I noted. To be honest, school, when he was 5 years old, he was in kindergarten. His school asked me if we can get him evaluated.
I see.
And that's how it started.
Would you, do you think you would have done that on your own? Or would you have just sort of, this is how he is, we're going to just live life like that?
After a while, I would have, because it started getting in the way of a lot of things. Yeah. And I started getting worried about safety because he would elope. He would. I had to put locks on the doors. He would touch tools that are a little bit dangerous just so he can, you know, he wants to understand what these tools do. He just wanted to, you know, have an extra vitamin because he wants more of it. Like it's just started a little bit scary. And when school wanted an evaluation, they weren't evaluating him for ADHD. They wanted an evaluation for autism, actually. And being in the field, I did not see autism. Yes, I did see some of the symptoms, but my son was like super social. So I just could not get, you know, like, how, but we did evaluate him, and I was hand in hand with school and all of their decisions. So anything they would tell me to do, I'd be open to do. I'd be ready to try. I would like, whatever it is you wanted. Yes, let's try. Because they wanted the best for my son and I wanted the best for my son. And they're telling me, oh, take him out of school. They're actually telling me, we want to help you. So we evaluated him. They got him on, like, on an IEP plan. And that I was not even familiar with. And that was great. But then things escalated. And they and tried.
Do you think that plan was effective? Do you think the school implemented it quite well?
The school was doing a great job, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the environment was not for him. So after a while, I mean, that's, I'm saying within 2 years. So he was five and six in that school. And things would go great for, Paula, things would go great for months. But then one wrong thing would happen and he'd go back to school the next day wanting to do more of it. And he got suspended a couple of times. And he got private placed later. So I don't know if you're familiar with private placement. I had no idea. And actually, a lot of people that go to that school do not even know they have that option. So the school has a list of like 80 schools within the state that they pay for. Like they pay that private school for that student to go to, where they can work on their behavior with goals to meet and an exit plan to go back to their school when they have met those goals. I'm like, what? So they did that, and he was in an ABA school, a full-on ABA school. The whole school was only 30 students. Super structured. He did so well for 3 months, I believe. And then the summer came along and they had summer school for him. They paid for his summer school. He did summer school. And then the new year started and things were not going well whatsoever. And then we decided to take him out of that school with his advocates that are from his previous schools that were so amazing to tour me around other schools. And we chose another school for him that he stayed in for almost maybe 10 months. Mm. And that other school said that this boy knows all his coping skills. He's way ahead of the other students in his class. This is not the place to be for him. He should go back to his school. He's perfectly fine, da, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he did go back to his school.
And were you happy for him to go back? Did you feel like he was ready? I was
happy for him to go back. Yeah. And I thought he was ready because with what I was doing with him at home, throughout the transformation, like of conscious parenting, he was a changed person. However, now in this school, I did notice that the environment plays a very big part. And no matter how much they try to cater and specialize a whole curriculum for him, children, maybe specifically that have ADHD, when they feel the pressure of needing to do better or meet specific expectations because of the students around them, maybe do not remember their coping skills as
as well as they
it's
so hard, isn't it? Because when the environment isn't right, it can really just throw them off, because like you said, they can't even bring to the surface what they've been working on all this time. It could be anything from too noisy, lights are too bright, just too much going on, and the teacher maybe doesn't have the capacity to stop what they're doing and focus and try and help them cope, because there's so much, the teacher has so much to do anyway.
Exactly. So I felt like I decided not to give my son any medication. And it was very successful for me outside school because I am able to, you know, help my son's environment feel successful as much as I can. I can take him to the places that I know would not overstimulate him. I can make sure that people around him like know how to deal with him. But then when it comes to school, you really need to choose the environment, right? Because you can't just expect him to succeed anywhere in any place.
Yeah. And when you got that diagnosis, what did that feel like for you? Did you feel sort of validated, relief, or did you have sort of conflicting emotions at that time? Because, you know, some people are concerned about labeling their child and now they just become the child who has ADHD, you know. So it's, but at the same time, having that diagnosis opens up doors for them to get assistance and things done for them that's going to help them succeed. So it's sometimes it's like a double sort of edged sword.
Yes, to be honest, at first it was like, okay, whether he has ADHD or he doesn't, I'm still going to be like the same way I will be with him. But to be honest, it's not about labeling your child. It's about understanding his point of view, understanding what's going on for him. Yes. So the idea of, is something wrong with my kid? I need to fix him. Or wait, is something wrong with me? Do I need to fix myself? It's not that. It's understanding where your son's at, because ADHD is not, it's not like that negative label. You can really look at it in a way where he's different and he might actually do things way better than I can do it, because he can actually multitask. He can be looking at the screen and then at the same time looking at whatever it is you're doing over there in the kitchen and listening to whatever person is saying over there. There's a lot of things happening, but if we try to work on his strengths, they can actually succeed in things that we miss out on because we're focusing too much on the thing in our hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think society in general needs to do a better job of treating this as just a way that your brain works is just different. And that difference isn't negative. There's such a, like a stigma attached to it as like a problem to be solved, where it really isn't. It's just a difference in how somebody experiences the world. And I would love to know, how do you talk about his ADHD with him?
I do not tell him you have ADHD. I mean, I do not mind telling him later in the future, but he's so confident that he doesn't even, he doesn't even feel like he's any less than people around him. He does know he's different, but he says he's special. The way he sees it and the way I explained it for this year, at least, is that you were in the school and you weren't able to control your emotions very well. You weren't able to use the coping skills. So you were placed in a different school to learn the coping skills without the academics, because it was a little bit too much pressure on you. So when you learned your coping skills and you were able to verbalize how you feel versus getting up and moving around and not saying you need a break, now that you're back in the school, you came, you joined in when school have started like a while back. So you're behind with the academics. So you have someone with you to help you throughout, you know, the struggle. Yeah. But as soon as you feel you're independent and you do not need that kind of help, you can just tell us and we can talk to school about it. So as he's growing, people around him, his friends, are noticing and are asking questions, and he might feel like, you know, like he's different.
Yeah.
It is something to keep in mind.
I would love to know, what would you say, this is just overall, what's sort of your biggest struggle and how do you try to overcome that? Is it more behavior? Is it learning? Is it socializing?
I think the biggest struggle in my case is really keeping him safe, because my son has that mindset of nothing is scary and nobody can scare me and I am stronger than anybody that comes my way. I love that he's a risk taker.
Yes.
He is like willing to try and do anything. And I love that because I am like that to a certain limit, but I am also the person that follows rules. Yeah. I want to find that balance of, I want to keep your character the way it is because it's beautiful. And I want you to be unique. But I want you to know that there are consequences in life. What scares me is really for him to push his limits a little bit too much and get himself in trouble.
Your biggest struggle. And as we're wrapping up, if you could speak to another mum or a parent who is supporting their child with ADHD, what would you say to them as they sort of go through their journey? What sort of mindset do they need to have? How should they look at things, approach life, basically, that can kind of empower them in their journey?
You are an amazing mom. You're perfect the way you are. You're not doing anything wrong. Your child is perfect the way he is. And he was born to you for a reason. Choosing to do like an evaluation for your son is not labeling him in any way. You're just trying to understand him a little bit more to be able to cater for his needs and advocate for him, especially with knowledge and new insight, if you're able to learn different approaches after evaluating him. The educational system may not always cater for these different brain development. So if you do not find the right environment for your son or daughter, do not push for them to be exactly the same as the other children. Look around. There must be a great place for your son or daughter
to thrive and to grow and to fulfill their amazing potential. Absolutely. That was really wise words. So tell us about your coaching. Do you work with any family, or do you specialize in families with neurodiversity? Tell us more about what you do.
So I have a business called Care to Repair Parenting that does offer one-to-one coaching. It's very parent-centric. I work with all parents, but my niche, to be honest, is more mm-hmm. of like the English speakers that are more in the Middle East, because
excellent.
Awareness in the Middle East.
Just out of interest, so what is the general parenting? Is it more traditional in the Middle East, traditional parenting, or would you say it is more in line with like conscious parenting, gentle parenting?
Back home, most of the people around us, they are very open to new strategies and parenting tools. However, they still use the timeout method, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, timeout is still big back mm-hmm. home.
So let us know, where can people connect with you online? What social media platforms are you on? What's your website?
So I am very active on Instagram under Care to Repair Parenting. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a website that people that are interested can contact me, and we can maybe have like a complimentary coaching call to understand if I actually, you know, I'm able to help them with the problem that they feel that they may have. And the website is www.caretorepairparenting.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on and having your chat with me and sharing your very personal journey with your son. I'm so grateful. So thank you, and it's lovely to see you and speak to you again.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.